Welcome to Parents' Perspective. So how did it go? Margie couldn't wait to hear the details of Daryl's first day as editor of the school newspaper. Boy, it was hard. Her 17-year-old son plopped his backpack by the door and slouched his way toward the refrigerator. I didn't realize all the decisions I'd have to make, he grimaced, and everyone seems to need something. Uneasy lies the head that wears the crown, his mom quoted with a smile. Yeah. Daryl retrieved some cold cuts, mustard, and bread, and began making a sandwich. But all the time, I kept thinking about Grandpa. You know how he used to tell me he solved problems by his special sorting method? It kind of helped me make sense of all the stuff I had to deal with. That's good, his mom sighed. I'm sure he'd be proud of all your hard work on the paper for the past 3 years. You know how he felt about that. Yeah, I know. The yeast that makes the bread rise, one of his favorite sayings, Daryl responded. Well, Marjorie felt her eyes grip moist, if you work this year as though Grandpa were watching, you can't help but do just fine. It's funny, Daryl managed between big bites of his sandwich. I can almost feel him around sometimes when I've major stuff to figure out. It's pretty weird, he looked up at his mom, but it's good. From a parent's perspective, what will be our legacies to our children, and what would we like them to be? I'm Sandy Burt.
And I'm Linda Perlis. We're so fortunate today. Our guests have come from families which have influenced them and have brought into the world a large family as well. Nancy Hamilton grew up as the middle child in a family of 7 children. She says, "The legacy in my family of the importance of family, faith, education, and hard work began with my immigrant great-grandparents who had to work very hard to make it in this country. Nancy was only 7 when her father was killed by a drunk driver. Her oldest sibling was 12. At 39, her mom was left to raise 7 children on her own. Nancy says, "This tragedy left an indelible mark on my family. I'm very close to all of my siblings." Bill Hamilton was the 3rd in a family of 12 children. He says, "We grew up having frequent family barbecues and other ways of celebrating together. The 10 surviving children are still close, even though we're scattered from our family home in St. Louis to both coasts." Nancy and Bill are the parents of 6 grown children and now have 9 young grandchildren as well. They own a computer software company in Washington, D.C., and interestingly, all of their children and their families are now living in the Washington metropolitan area as well. Welcome to Parents' Perspective, Nancy.
Thank you, Linda. It's nice to be here.
And welcome, Bill.
Thank you very much.
What traits do you especially remember about your own parents?
Well, I remember the kind of inclination to have fun at home. And I associate that with the barbecuing on the weekends and just having a good time as a family.
That must have been quite a feat with 12 children.
It was. It was, of course, but they seemed to find a way to celebrate, to enjoy life. And I can remember my father's intellectual interests, and I can remember his irreverence.
Which you liked, obviously.
Right.
I see the smile.
Right.
I think I remember most about my mom was her independence. She, for her age, very few women went to college, and my mother had gone to college, and she always stressed the importance of being well-informed, of making up your own mind about things. And I remember one time some neighborhood women came by to push the local candidate for whatever party. There was, I think, only one party back then in St. Louis, but my mother asked these women what the candidate stood for. And I'll never forget the two women turning to each other, looking at them in total puzzlement. They couldn't respond. And while I was a little embarrassed for those women, it made a strong impression on me that they should know at least what their candidate stood for.
Which of these traits that you were talking about were important to you as a young adult and became important when you were trying to raise a family?
Well, as the parents of five daughters, I found the trait of independence very important. And the accomplishments of my mother raising a family. Family was always first with my mother, and she wanted us to have careers in case we needed to work, because at that time not everyone went to work. But if something happened that a mother had to work, to try and find a career that would enable you to be home with the children. So teaching was, in her mind, the ideal career.
Did all the girls become teachers?
Maybe three out of four did, yes. And then branched out into other things. But my mother was left to raise seven children on her own, and she had never had to do much when she was growing up as the only girl in a family of three. So it was quite a struggle for her, and she was determined that should anything like that happen to her children, that they would be more prepared. And she gave us a lot of responsibility, and I think that responsibility that we were given as children stood us in good stead when we were raising our own families. Raising a family, as you know, is not an easy thing. And if you have never had responsibility, I would imagine it would be very tough to have four young children or even one young child rising to the occasion. So I am grateful that my mom gave us that background that enabled us to cope with the difficulties of raising children.
We'll take a short break now and be right back to continue our discussion about our legacies to our children.
Washington, D.C. with Kids, an excellent book by authors Sandy Burt and Linda Perlis, is available at all major bookstores and on the web.
Welcome back to Parents Perspective. We are talking with Nancy and Bill Hamilton about our legacies to our children.
Bill, Nancy's talked a little about her mom, and I'm wondering if you would tell us a little bit about your parents.
Well, my mother was always finding ways to enjoy life, even with the 12 children. And so we had good food. When my parents moved out to Los Angeles after we moved to Washington, and we went out there a couple of times to visit them with the kids, and my mother knew Disneyland like the back of her hand and enjoyed it like a child and would take the kids. She knew all of the rides, and it was all vicarious for her, you know, to enjoy doing it with the kids.
But she'd never had a chance to do it with her own kids, so she
right.
had these wonderful grandchildren.
And she just indulged them. And I think they couldn't believe it, how much fun it was, right?
Right. She just loved having her grandchildren visit, and her children. She missed them terribly. We were on opposite coasts. And she also took in neighbors and friends. There could never be too many people at the Hamilton household. It was a happy place, and everyone was welcome. She was quite a role model for me as well as my own mother. And she, you saw that someone raising 12 children could have such a happy outlook, you know, and be so easygoing was wonderful.
She wasn't taking a substance we should know about, right?
She got her joy from her children, and it made you realize you could have a big family. Bill and I grew up at the time of Cheaper by the Dozen, and that was a nice role model. I saw that movie. I thought that was wonderful. We had a big family and had a lot of fun with my siblings, and we're still very, very close. And so seeing Bill's mother raising 12 children was quite an experience.
I want to ask you, Bill, do you think that the idea of the family barbecues and sort of family celebrations and family fun, part of that comes from it would be very hard to take all those children to a fun park or something like that, you know, to one of these places where all the kids think they should go now for $35 a day.
I do, Linda. That was out of the question with 12 children. And we didn't take vacations as a family. And I can remember the few times we went out to dinner together. But that, of course, was unsustainable.
When you were growing up, did you have a special relationship with any other relative? Either of you with one particular relative?
Well, I had an uncle who was very special to us. Even though he lived in New Jersey, he made it a point to come with his family every summer to visit. And Uncle Gene had such a wonderful spirit about him that we looked for the day when Uncle Gene would visit. He would pick my mom up, who had a tough job raising seven children on her own, but Uncle Gene just made it a joy. And we would have a family picnic as well. There were parks in St. Louis you would go to and have a picnic. And I also think that the neighbors in the neighborhood that I grew up in St. Louis had special relationships with the children in the neighborhood, especially those who didn't have children of their own.
When you were beginning your own family, did you have models for the kinds of values you wanted to pass on to your children?
Well, I think that we both did. My mom was quite a model in that she expected us to clean up after ourselves, to chip in with the family cleaning and cooking. But at the same time, she stressed values of education and of music. She gave me a wonderful tradition of music, which she passed on. She herself sang and danced in the St. Louis Opera. Today I have her piano in my living room, which I consider a very special treat every time I sit down to play it. But she talked about her father singing opera. He loved Caruso. So that tradition of music in our family was also very important. And especially when it came time to practice, you had the choice of, do you want to practice or do you want to wash the dishes? And my siblings still talk about that. I always chose practicing. But I'm able to enjoy the piano today because of that.
Isn't that interesting? Were there things that you did with your kids then as a result?
Yes, we wanted to make sure our kids had that same opportunity. They didn't all pick up on it, just as in my family, but they appreciate music, and they all play instruments. And though Brendan decided to take up the drums, we tried to discourage that, but he sounds pretty good.
What kinds of relationships did your children have with their grandparents and or other relatives growing up? Any of them connect specifically with specific relatives in either family?
Our older children especially had the opportunity to know my mother, because she would come and spend maybe a month with us in the summertime, and she would go to the beach with us. She loved going to the beach. We didn't have that opportunity in St. Louis. We didn't even see the ocean until after we moved to Washington. And so that was very special to the older children. The younger ones also knew her, but didn't have the opportunity to know her as well.
Now, both of you have a lot of relatives. That means there have been a lot of relatives around at your home with their kids as well.
Yes. Well, I think when my sister Sue and her husband Jim moved to Connecticut, that gave us some relatives on the East Coast, and we spent Thanksgiving and Easter holidays with Sue and Jim and their children. And sometimes we would go to Connecticut, and other times they would come down to Washington. And that gave our children cousins who were very close to them, and they still think of them as a part of their family.
Speaking of having a close relationship with your cousins, my youngest can hardly believe that two cousins he's very close to are really second cousins, because we have a good-sized family on my husband's side, and we have Thanksgiving every year with a cast of thousands, and it was started by my husband's grandmother, who wanted to have her children all around her for a holiday, and so she started having people for Thanksgiving. And then when my husband's family moved out of state, they began to have everybody at their house for Thanksgiving, and everybody came and slept on the floor and so forth and so on. It was very adorable. And then we took it over at a certain point, and these particular cousins, to which my youngest is very close, live in San Francisco, and they have to come across the country, that whole side of the family, every Thanksgiving. And it's really amazing. It's a short holiday, and for them to pick up and come, even when there were little babies and so forth, it was really very meaningful to all the rest of us. So it's a very special time in our family, and it's kept everybody very close, and it's only been once a year.
I think holiday customs are one of the things that all families share.
When we first came to Washington, we were so isolated. We're starting our family, and we have this beautiful new baby, and there's no one to share the happy occasion with. So after a few weeks, we hopped in our Volkswagen and headed to St. Louis, because that's when you appreciate your family the most, is when you have a family, you realize how much the family is part of your enjoyment of these special occasions. If you don't have the opportunity to be close to your family, I suggest to listeners that they try to create an alternate family of close friends, our neighbors, so that they can have someone to share with those happy times, and also to be supportive in raising your children. It's such a difficult, mentally and or emotionally stressful job, you know, and just to have the support of neighbors and friends makes it so much easier.
Sometimes people connect through their churches or synagogues or other organizations.
Yes, mm-hmm. That all of those support systems will help make a happier family.
Now that your kids are developing their own families, all 9 grandchildren that you have so far, what values do you think they're choosing to pass along? How do you see that happening?
Well, I see them valuing the same things that we did. I see them trying to find the best schools for their children, the best neighborhoods. Family's very important. And I think that you don't think about it so much, what these values are that you want to pass on. But as you watch your children grow and you see them be such wonderful mothers, you can't imagine what a joy that is for us to see them be such good mothers to their children. And that is a reward that's a little delayed, but in raising children, you have to have your rewards. You don't always see right away the results of your handiwork. And so watching these kids take care of their own children is one of the nicest things for me and Bill.
We'll take a short break now and be right back to finish our discussion about our legacies to our children.
For an audio cassette copy of any Parent's Perspective show, send a check or money order for $5 with your name, address, and phone number to Parent's Perspective, P.O. Box 42283, Washington, D.C., 20015.
Welcome back to Parents' Perspective. We're talking with Nancy and Bill Hamilton about our legacies to our children. Well, you know, you both emphasize a lot the importance of family and the joy of getting together with family. Is that still going on with the next generations?
Oh, very definitely. I have loved the Hamilton tradition of barbecuing. We've taken that over, and when we get together with our kids and their children, we are always barbecuing year-round. And we have a lot of fun. Another nice benefit of having your children live near you is that on occasion the need arises, you're there, they can move in with you. We've had the pleasure of having Molly and Pete move in with us while they were doing renovations on their house. And at the moment, we have Ann and Greg and their 4 children living with us, 2 sets of twins under the age of 3. So it's wonderful.
Oh, my goodness. And that's because they're renovating too, right?
Yes, and they started today, the older twins started their first day of school, and to be there as they go off with their little school bags is so precious. It's really wonderful.
Now that you've got children who are grown up, if you had something that you wanted to really tell them specifically to pass on, what would it be?
I think for me, it would be to always set your priorities. That's something my mother emphasized. It's something I unconsciously do every day, but when you're so busy with a job and other responsibilities. If you don't set your priorities, you're going to find you didn't do something that you wished you had done. And you're always going to have a little bit of that. But if you establish a routine of saying to yourself, what's the most important thing of all these things I have to do, then you'll be more satisfied with what you do accomplish.
Bill?
I think that's right. I agree with that.
I know that there are all kinds of funny stories, because we've talked about them prior to this interview on the air, of things that have gone on in your family. Not always funny, sometimes just teaching responsibility. I thought maybe you'd give us an example.
Well, I can remember when the children were small, on occasion I would have to throw their shoes down the basement or something if they didn't put them back, and I probably took a cue from Mrs. Connolly, one of our neighbors growing up, who I think the Connollys had about 6 kids, and if the kids didn't pick up after themselves, she simply threw the clothes out the back door.
Oh, my goodness. Have to hope for good weather in a situation like that. Oh. What resources would you suggest for parents who want to give some more thought to their own legacies to their children?
Well, I think if you stop and think about, as we've had to in preparation for this program, the things that made you the kind of parent you are today, what was important to you so that you can encourage it in your own children. So much of this is automatically you pick and choose what you value and you don't even think about it. But I see these traditions being passed on of the importance of family and family first. I think that's kind of an unspoken belief in our family, that your family comes before everything else.
Well, you have certainly helped us all to think again about the kinds of legacies that we're leaving our children, and certainly the importance of family and all that. So Nancy and Bill Hamilton, thank you both for being with us today.
You're welcome. It's
nice. Thanks for having us.
Our gift for our first caller is an autographed copy of our latest book, Washington, D.C. with Kids. Just call us toll-free at 1-800-791-8573 with your name and mailing address. That's 1-800-791-8573 with your name and mailing address and mention show number 197. Tell us if you can what station you're listening to. Since we're airing all over the world, it's always fun to know what station you're tuning into. Washington, D.C. with Kids is available at all major bookstores and on the web.
To learn more about Parents' Perspective and our latest book, Washington, D.C. with Kids, visit our website, http://i.am/parentsperspective. That's http://i.am/parentsperspective. This is Sandy Burt and Linda Perlis. We're glad you could share Parents' Perspective. This program is produced today in memory of Michael Kelly, nationally prominent journalist and beloved son, husband, and father who died in Iraq. Our sound engineer is Damon Fisher. Music for this program was composed and performed by Jonathan Burt.